Okay, by side. Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amud. Since we spoke at length over the last blot and a half, regarding the Hilchos Menuda, remember Menuda was a person who came into Bezdin and he refused to comply and to abide with the Bezdin's psak. He became a Menuda. So now we're going to talk about in our Gemara how does a person become a Menuda. And therefore we're going to go through many of the rules of Jewish jurisprudence. How do Batei Dinim summon individuals for a Din Torah, for a case? So Omer, fourth line from the top, Minolon de Meshadrin Shlicha de Beidina Umazmaninan Le Ledina. That's the Girsa of our Gemara. In another minute or so we'll see that we're going to make a change based on the Chupach. In the meantime it says, how do you know Meshadrin Shlicha de Beidina? In other words, one individual goes to the Bezin and says, I would like to bring a case against Ploini, against a defendant. So the Bezin takes the case. They don't themselves have to go down to the defendant and say, come on in. Mishadrin, they can go and send the Shlich Levedina. They can go and send a summons with an individual, summoning that person to come to Bezin.
Is that like a subpoena or something?
Oh, exactly like a subpoena. Umazmanina Leiladina, and then they bring him into the Bezin. They invite him in for a Din Torah. How do I know? Just if it's in the Pasuk, in Parshas Korach. Vayishlach Moshe Likroi Ledosan Lavir Bnei Eliyav. He called to them. How did he call to them? Through Vayishlach, through a Shliach. So he sent the Shliach to Dosan Laviram, come on up, we're going to have a Din Torah. Vayoyimru, and they said, Loi Nale, we're not going. So we see from that you can go and send a Shliach. And the Gemara continues, and we know, how do you know the Mazmanina Ledina? One second. Didn't we just say two lines ago, Mazmanina Ledina? The Gemara is now repeating itself. Mm-hmm. And therefore the Bach, back on the fourth line, you see the Aleph, takes out the words Mazmanina Ledina, and instead is Gores. We know the Kavinan Duchta. How do we know that the Bezin first is Kovea? They set a particular place for the Din Torah, and then they go and send out the Shliach, Tachsiv, Vayishlach. So therefore, the Bach takes out Mazmanim Levedina, and now the Gemara says, maybe the previous Limud was that you're going to appoint a Shliach to go and advise the defendant that someone is calling him to Din Torah. But now we go one step further. How do we know the Mazmanim Levedina that we actually invite him to come in for the Din Torah? You and all of your Eda. The pasuk continues on. You're coming now before the Rabbeinu Shloimeh, because the Rabbeinu Shloimeh, he is Kaviyachu, the Rosh Bezin of the Bezin, in front of whom you are now going to be Nidan. You're going to be, the decision will be made. So Moshe calls to Koirach, At and all of your Eda, come. Now, how do I know that if one of the Dayanim is a very chosh of a person, typically the Rosh Bezdin. How do you know that you'd go and tell him, you're not just being invited to the Bezdin of the Upper West Side, you're being invited to the Bezdin of the Chief Rabbi, and you fill in the blank. How do you know the Kami Gaber Rabba? Because the Pasuk continues on, Hey, you Lefnei Hashem. Lefnei Hashem, to tell them, you're not just being called in front of any three rabbis, but in front of the Almighty Himself. Now, how do you know that when you're summoning someone to Bezin, you tell them, At Uplanya, you're coming together with the plaintiff? In other words, it's not, we're just telling you, you're called to Din Torah, you'll find out when you arrive, but you go and tell him, Yankel is calling you to Din Torah. How do you know? Because the Pasuk says, V'yem Moshe al Koirach, At B'chalatoscha, you lefnei Hashem, Ato V'heim, you Koirach and your Eda, that's on one side of the judicial bar, so to speak. The Aroin being the other litigant. In other words, there's a Din Torah here between Koyach Radosoi and Har. So that's how you know, At Uplan. How do you know the Kavina and Zimna? How do you know that you go and tell him a specific time and date? The Pasuk continues, At Behem V'Aroin Machar. Machar means, of course, tomorrow. So therefore, the summons is not just a generic summons. Sir, whenever you're ready, you're going to come to Bezin, and we're going to see what we do. No, you give them a specific time, a specific date, a specific location, you tell them who the other party is, you tell them who the Rosh Bezin is, and so on and so forth. Continues Gemara, Zimna, Basa, Zimna. What happens if he doesn't come the first time? then you have to go and send him a second hazmana, a second invitation. Come on in for the din Torah. How do I know this? It's in the pasuk. Karu sham haroi melech Mitzrayim shoin he'avir hamoyed. What is this all about? So the word sham in this pasuk, says Rashi, means shamta. Shamta means nidui or excommunication. So Koru Sham Paroi Melech Mitzrayim, they went and put a shamta on Paroi. Why? Shoin. Shoin means that he was a blusterer. He was a balgava, pompous fellow. He'avir hamoid. He was supposed to come at the moid at the appropriate time, and he didn't come at the appropriate time. Since he didn't come at that time, and the way the Mefarshim learned the Gemara, he didn't come not only the first time, he didn't come the second time, the Zimna Basar Zimna, he didn't come twice, then he is put into Shamta. People say, hey, how come you didn't come when you were supposed to come? And therefore you put him into Chayim.
It's not the topic of our Gemara directly, but how could Paro, the king of Egypt, be put into, be excommunicated by a Jewish Bezden? He won't care. He say, excommunicate me all you like, I'm the king of Egypt.
You understand right. You're 100% right. This case of Pari was not that Yankel Smith called Pari to Din Torah. You have to look up all the details in Yirmiyah, but basically what it says over there is that Pari was supposed to go and join others in a war, and Pari was invited, and Pari says, yes, I'm coming. And then when the battle began, guess what? Pari dilly-dallied and he stayed home and he didn't go and he didn't send the troops.
Oh, is that when he decided to fight against Bavel and it backfired and Israel supported him?
Right, and he was tishmetred after that, exactly. Anyway, so the point is, although that is not a classic Din Torah, nor the case by Koyrach was also not a classic Din Torah, but we learn from them, maybe it's more like an Asmachta as opposed to a real Limud, but we learn from these Psukim a lot of the rules that apply to jurisdiction, and we're saying that the reason why Pari was put in Shamta, because Hevir Hamoyed, he didn't come at the appointed time, and the way the Rishash understands the Rashi, it means that he didn't come neither the first time nor the second time. Hevir, he pushed off the Moyed two times, and that's what the Gemara is referring to, the Zimna Basa Zimna. If you don't come, you put the guy into Chayim. So the Chayim is not only if he refused to abide by the Bezin's decision, but if he refuses to come when he's supposed, when he's been summoned, then he's supposed to come in. What happens if, when you send the Shliach Bezdin, who has in his hands the summons or the subpoena, he also be Omar, and then when he gets there, the person that he is summoning is Mispaker. Mispaker means he treats him with chutzpah. He doesn't treat him respectfully. How do I know that Ba'osavi Omar, that he's allowed to come back to the Bezdin and say, not only did Beryl Jones refuse to go and accept this summons to come to Bezdin, but he spoke to me in the most vile and denigrating language conceivable. How do I know that Loi Mischazi Kalishna Bisha, that's not considered to be Lushon Hara, and he's allowed to go and reveal what happens, he's allowed to disclose it? It's because it says in the Pasuk, Vayta by Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that we summoned Koyrach v'chol hadasoi, and we summoned them by sending a shliach, and the shliach came back and said, you know what they said? What are you going to do to force us to come to the Torah? Are you going to chas v'sholom go and pull out our eyes? Loinala, we're not going. And that Moshe Rabbeinu writes that in the Torah. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know that? It must be that the shliach came back and said, can you imagine? I told them to come and they use all of this vile language. And then Moshe got very angry. Anyway, we see from that parasha that they were talking, that the Shliach Bezdin reported back to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word what he heard from the people.
And that's permissible or not?
The Gemara is saying it's Luy Mischazi. It does not look like Lashon Hara, and therefore it is permissible.
Correct. So why does in the messenger just said, they refused to come? Like, why does he have to go into the whole?
The Gemara doesn't tell us why it's necessary for him to go into more detail. But the Maisa, if he says it, it's not considered to be.
It's not considered slanderous.
It's not slanderous, and it's not Moshe Shemra, it's not
Well, it's evidence in excommunicating him. Why, on what basis he just didn't want to come? Why did he excommunicate him? Because these are the words he said. So this is
very
this material. It's material not to the court case, but to the excommunication.
Very good.
And
material
this,
evidence.
Does,
good.
This also apply to, let's say, witnesses? Like, does the court send messengers or people?
That's excellent question. The Gemara doesn't get into that.
But
today.
Is it the same process?
Presumably. You should look up the Masechta Sanhedrin that goes into further jurisdiction and jurisprudence, rules and regulations. We're only dealing with those which the Gemara discusses today. Exactly. Uminolan, we're on to, for those that are, we are on Daf Tes Zayin Umber Aleph, fifth wide line. Tes Zayin Umber Aleph, fifth wide line. At the end of the line, Uminolan, you're very welcome. Uminolan the Mishabtinan. How do you know that if in fact a person does not listen, he doesn't come, or he doesn't listen to the Bezin's psak that we put on him, a shamta. Shamta means he's excommunicated. Mm-hmm. It says in the pasuk, Oiru Meirois, Oiru Yeshvea. We left that a word. Oiru Meirois, Omar Malach Hashem, Oiru Yeshvea, Kilevo, the Esras Hashem, Bagiboyim. What is that pasuk talking about? It's a pasuk in the beginning of Shoftim. We have Barak together with Dvoira. They were very upset at Meirais because they, Barak and Dvoira, had a major war and battle against the enemies, and Meirais did not show up. Who was Meirais? What was Meirais? We will discuss that in another few lines. But just suffice it to say, Meirais did not come for the battle. And because he didn't come for the battle, Oiru Meirois, they want to put an order on him. An order normally means a curse, but the Gemara is learning that this curse is in fact a shamta that Meirois was put into excommunication. Zok Yumara, how do you know the Hochi Savra the Gavra Rabba, that when we go and excommunicate him, we go and send him again Shliach Bezdin or a letter, we don't just simply say the Bezdin has excommunicated you, but we say that the Bezdin, Bereshis, the Rosh Bezdin, Chief Rabbi Yankel Smith, who is very well known, Hagoyin Hagogel, he was the one that put you into Chayim. How do you know? You tell him that, Tichsib. Omer Malach Hashem. They didn't just go and tell Meirois, Oiru. They told him, you know who made the Oiru? Who made the Shamta, the excommunication? The Malach Hashem. Now, who's the Malach Hashem? Well, yes, is Rashi. It's referring to Barak. Barak is called the Malach Hashem because he was the Shliach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to fight the battle at his time. And therefore, he had the koyach of being a gavra rabba. That's why we tell him, Mr. Meirois, we'll see who Meirois is in a moment, that the Malach Hashem Borak has put you in chayim. When we know the mechaminon, how do you know that you go the next step? What means the next step? We'll see more a little bit further down, that the initial excommunication is called nidui or shamta. But if the person persists in his being obstinate and non-abiding vis-a-vis the Bezdin, ultimately we put him in Chayiv, which is a step worse. You may recall, remember the Gemara yesterday, that one of the differences between the case of Shamta and Chayiv is, by Shamta, he can continue learning and having a Rebbe and teaching others, but if you get to Chayiv, then he cannot teach others and you cannot give him a Rebbe, he can only learn on his own. And in terms of the financial, if he's just b'shamta, then he can be a socher, and he can be maskil la'acherim, he can go and run a business and hire workers, he can be hired as a worker. However, if he happens to be in cherim, that's no longer possible, and rather we just give him a little business that he should be able to go and support himself and his family, but nothing more than that. For a case of someone who was b'shamta, or he was b'cherim, and he had to go and sell water bottles to go and make money for himself and for his family out in the shuk, in the shuk of Paks of the Arvus. Exactly right.
So the
yes.
And where do you give shamta for? Where do you give?
So Gemara is going to say that shamta goes if you don't come the first or second time. You give shamta. He allows himself to remain in that shamta for 30 or 60 days. Then you put on the chayim. Okay. We'll see that mitzvah shortly. Now, how do you know that there is this second step of chayim? Tachsiv oiru oror. Ah, so therefore the first step is just one oiru. Now you have oiru oror. That means we've gone now to the second step. That Meirois, because he persists in his being defiant, So now we go into the Chedim category.
What should he have done once the battle was over and they actually Barak and Devorah won?
That I can't respond to. But let's see what the story is, why, who the Meres was. But in the meantime, the Pasuk continues on, Or Yoshver. After all, part of the Indian of Shamtan Chayrim is that people shouldn't get close to him, shouldn't eat with him, shouldn't drink, shouldn't go and greet him, and they shouldn't stand in his Arba Amois. How do I know all of that? It's in the Pasuk Yoshver. Oiru Or Yoshver, meaning Chevra. Once a person is in Chayrim, stay away from him, don't sit and don't even stand within his Dalet Amos, don't eat with him, don't drink with him. He's like a Shikul Metzoyer, if you will. Uminoim departim chatoim betzibur. How do you know that you're allowed to go and tell everybody what his chatoim are? Tichsiv kevei ba'u li'ezra Hashem. Because when Barak and Devorah went into battle, they called Meirais, he refused to come, and therefore, Rabbi said, you should know, we put him in Chayrim. So this is not just because he spoke during Chazoras HaShatz, or during Lightning. We want you to know the reason is, because he didn't go and join with everybody else at the battlefield. That one, Barak put Meirois into Chayrim, into Shamta, he did it by blowing the shofar 400 times, or 400 shofars. It could be that 400 shofars is a guzma, because typically the number 400 is considered to be an exaggeration, but the point is, he let everybody know this was not a secret that was withheld from anyone. Everybody
knew. Is that a general thing that you blow when you put someone in Chayrim?
It seems to be that they used to do it with a shofar. Yes, so it seems. Now, the question is, who was this Meirois? Is a machlokes. He was a very chosh of a person, a person who was very dignified and distinguished, and therefore, if he didn't go into battle, then of course that would be demoralized everybody else. Or Chief Rabbi Yankel Smith doesn't have to go. I mean, Chief Rabbi Yankel Smith, he's the one that put him in Techev. Okay, so Beryl Jones didn't go to the battlefield. Well, Beryl Jones, but he's a Rosh Hakul, he's the president of the general community, and he didn't go. So therefore, we had to go and put him in Shamta and Chayim. The Ikliyami, others say that Meroi is not a person, it's the name of a star. Koyich v'hat. Now we don't mean a star like a music star. We mean a real star. Shnemem in Shemayim nilchomu ha-kichovim nimsiloisam. Which means that at the time of this battle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and even sent kichovim, even stars, to go and share in the battle.
How do you put a star in Chayim?
Yeah.
Excellent question.
You don't look at star at the light from the star. I mean,
again, excellent question. Struck. You asked me at the outset, is this agada? So I told you that it's halachic agada. So it's a mixture, a blend, a hybrid of halach and agada. If you find out the answer exactly what the, I guess it means that all the other kechavim have to stay away and they can't eat and drink together with this kechav, and they have to be at least 400 amos distant from him.
At least
exactly. How that works, probably up in Shemayim, there's a lot of social distancing.
Because anyway, in Shomala, so I guess they adjudicate it there.
Exactly. They
They're
take
light
care.
Years away.
Light years away. Very good. How do you know that if a person doesn't abide by a Bezin's psak, then you can even be mafker his nechos? And mafker means to go make them all hefker. What is this pasuk all about? This is a pasuk towards the beginning of Ezra. And in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they went up for the binyan habayis hasheini, it says over there in the pasuk that unfortunately Ezra discovered that many of the menfolk had intermarried Nebuchadnezzar, Rachmana Litzlan, with Goites. And Ezra was very upset about that, and he wanted to put down the line and tell everybody, we can't allow this, whoever is married to a Goite, get rid of her, out. We only want Erlich Eden to go and rebuild Eretz Yisrael and to come up from the Goites. One of the things that he did was he called a major Asifa, and he said, everybody has to be the Asifa from Mikotan Vad Gogol. Everybody said, we can try to uproot from our midst, try to work out together the Takanois and the Tikkunim and the rules and regulations, how we get rid of those that don't have to get rid of these goita wives, and what we need to do vis-a-vis the men that are not listening and they keep their goyisha wives. So the pasuk says, whoever doesn't come in 3 days from now, in other words, they sent it out Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday night, we're all getting together, in City Field or a huge stadium, wherever it is. If you don't come, all of your rechush, all of your possessions will be put into chayram. That means, doesn't mean chayram means it's going to be hefker, v'hu, and that individual that doesn't come, ibon mikalagon. And Rashi points out that throughout Shas, whenever we have the concept of hefker, bezin, hefker, we learn it from this pasuk that the bezin, in this case the bezin was Ezra and Nehemiah, and whoever was together with them, was able to have that koyach, yochram kol rechushoi, to go and confiscate people's possessions.
So what is the translation of hefker, bezdin, hefker, meaning that only the court can make something hefker?
Every individual can be mafker their own nechos.
Right, but that's no good kiddush. Someone other than the individual.
The bezdin has that koyach to go and confiscate other people's possessions and to say that they're hefker.
So once they say, let's say hefker, anyone from outside could go on this person's property and it's a free-for-all?
Exactly right. And make sure you're the first one there so that you don't have too much competition. How do we know that the bezin has other powers and authorities, not just the power and authority of putting someone in chayim, not only the power of taking somebody else's rechush, but rather that they can do all the following? Natsina means that they can contend and deal with an individual. This comes from the pasuk Ki Natsu Hanoshim Yachdav, which is a pasuk in this week's Sedra. So the word Yinotsu is Natsinan, that we call him to Bezin and we're done, we work with him. V'laitinan, and if he doesn't listen, V'laitinan, we put a curse on him. V'machinan, and we can be Moicha, we can go and give him Pech, what we would call Makis Mardis. We're not talking about Malkis the Araisa, because that's for sure. But even Makis Mardis the Rabbanan, they can go and give him Pech. V'toshinan Seya, they can even go and pull out the person's hair. This is hair raising, Rabbi Say. V'mashbi'inan, and we can go and be Mashbi'ehem. In other words, force him to make a shvur that he's going to go and do tshuva and he's going to change his ways. How do I know?
How can you force him to make a shvur?
It's supposed to be a personal.
You give him another patch, right? You know. Exactly.
So the court has people like on the payroll that's their job to like.
Oh, that's for sure. Absolutely.
Goons, more goons.
Okay, the Siv, how do we know? V'or of Imam, I went and this is again in Ezra Nehemiah, and Nehemiah is again talking about the bad guys, those that refuse to go and send away their goyish wives, part of Imam, and I would quarrel with them, I would fight with them, Bakalim, and I would curse them, Ba'akamiham, and I gave them Pech, and Nashim, these people, Ba'emritim, and I would go, Merita means to go and pull out wool from animals here, it means to pull out here, Ba'ashviyam, and I force them to go make a shvur. Uminolan, how do you know the Kafsinan that you can go and tie their arms and their legs, their hands and their feet together, and then you can tie them to the stake and give them the makis. How do you know that you can do hardafa? What's hardafa? The Gemara will talk about that in another 2-3 lines. Wait and see. How do you know that they have those koiches as well? The fasting. This is a proclamation or a decree that was sent by Daryovesh to Ezra. Ezra is going up to Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to make sure that they have a certain degree of authority in government. So Daryovesh said, no problem. I authorize you to go and set up your own judicial system. Hein lemois, chas v'sholem, to put someone to death. Hein l'shroishi, what means l'shroishi? I don't know. We'll see in a moment. Hein l'onish nechsin, to go and punish him by taking away, confiscating his nechosim, his possessions. V'lasunim, to go and give makis maris. The Freyti Mor is my l'shroishi. What is that? He authorized him to do shroishi. Omer Adam Mori, Omer Nechemi Bar Baruch, Omer Rav Chiyah Bar Avin, Omer Rav Yehuda. It means hardofa. You have the right to be hardofa. The Freyti Mor, my hardofa. Omer Rav Yehuda, Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shivas, Mishmei Derav, Menade Lialter. This is what we spoke about a few minutes ago, that if the person refuses to come to Besdin, you don't even have to wait for him to appear and then put a shamta on him. If he refuses to appear, you can go and put him in Nidoya immediately. If 30 days continue and he still refuses to come to Besdin, then you repeat the shamta again. And then what happens if another 30 days pass, then you put him in the full-fledged Chayim. And we spoke about before the differences between Shamta and Chayim, both Lagabe being able to learn with an individual, as well as how he's going to make Parnassah, if he can be hired and not hired. So Chayim is much heavier than just Shamta. Only Rafuna bar Chinna. Hachi Amar Rav Chizda Masun Bei Sheni VaChamishi VeSheni. So there are a couple of shots on exactly what that means. Sheni VaChamishi VeSheni, of course, means Monday, Thursday, and Monday. But what does that mean? Bottom line, Monday, Thursday, and Monday. So one of the shots is that you don't have to. Well, let's do it the other way around. Instead of Menan La'Alter, that immediately, if the person doesn't show up, we can already put him in Nidoy. Says, no. We give him a little bit of a break. If we told him he should come in at Weiss on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he didn't appear, then the first Monday thereafter, we go and either give him Hasra'a and tell him, mister, you better show up. If you don't show up, Shamta. He refuses. Continue on Thursday. Again, we send him another message. You better show up. He doesn't come again. Another Sheni passes. You have Sheni, Chamish, Sheni. Now we go and put him into Nidoy. So it's not immediate. It's only after three.
You said earlier, give him two before you put him in Chayim. Don't you give him two summons?
The Gemara before said two summonses, right? It seems to be a machloikas over here. Up above it said that you have to do Zimna, and then again Basr Zimna, then they put him in Shamta. Here it sounds even the first time you can go and put him in Shamta. And showing him, and you can put him in the Shamta, not that you can, but after 30 days pass, you repeat it again and tell him, mister, you're in Shamta, don't forget. And then if he still doesn't abide, another 30 days pass, then you put him in Chayim after 60 days.
But in this case, you're talking about Sheni, Chamishi, and Sheni.
So some say that this Sheni, Chamishi, Sheni means on the first time, meaning that you don't do it La'alter, you do it Monday, Thursday, Monday. Others say that the Sheni, Chamishi, Sheni is referring to the Shamta and to the Chayim. That if he doesn't come the first time on Sheni, Shamta. If he doesn't come on Thursday, Shamta. If he doesn't come now on the second Sheni, then you already put Chayim, so you don't have to wait the full 60 days. You do it much more quickly. So
they come to talk about a Siruv.
But today we would call it a Siruv, and if the person is Masarev Ladina, he refuses to abide or to come, then Shamta and Chayim. Says Imar, this whole thing that you wait, whether you have to have Bahab, or you wait for 30 days, or you do it immediately, that's all the moments. Avalab Kirusa, if Chas Hashem, a person is speaking with chutzpah against a Groysa Talmud Chacham, la'alta, then on the spot, and the Gemara is going to say shortly that even the Talmud Chacham himself can go and put that person into Chayram, into Shamt, and say, ah, chutzpah yata, that's the way you talk to a Chashem, a Talmud Chacham. You can do it la'alta, you don't have to wait Bahab, 30 days, whatever. Shnal, put him into Shamta. Yes.
Earlier we said that Ezra got the Samchus to kill whatever from King Artaxerxes. So how can we say, you know, we don't go by what if a human being gives permission to, you know, don't we have how can Ezra used just permission given by another king to kill, or what? Meaning we have a system or laws, or
we certainly have our own laws. What I believe the Gemara is telling us is, when we were in Eretz Yisrael, we were lived under our own kingdom many, many, many years ago.
Right.
So we knew what the rules and regulations that govern us, based on what it says in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Pesachus Malkus, in Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam, we know what the rules and regulations are. However, now we're under the influence and the dominion of the Goyim. In the times of Ezra, he's going up to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael didn't belong to the Jews at that time.
Right.
It belonged to Darius, Daryavesh. And so therefore, he didn't want to get amiss of the kingdom, because after all, the reason why Nebuchadnezzar went and punished everybody, he said, you got to go and listen to my rules. If you start making any type of rebellion, and you're going to try to make yourself big knackers, and get rid of all you guys. And that's what happened, unfortunately, to Kiyor Melech and all the others. Anyway, but bottom line is getting back to our Gemara. So Ezra wanted to make sure that he doesn't cross the line. So he sent a letter to Dayovish, and he said, Dayovish, I want to be able to go and set up a court system to be able to enforce the rules and regulations. And Dayovish said, no problem. You have all the jurisdiction that you need, even Chas Hashem, to execute people, to excommunicate people, to confiscate their nechasim, and so on and so forth. So therefore, we see that the Bezdin has that koyach, assuming that the local government doesn't give you a hard time. Now the Gemara continues on. We want to prove that if a person is mispaken means if he speaks with chutzpah to a big Talmud Chacham, then you can go and put him into Shamta Le'alta. See, Gemara tells us the story. How Tavcha is a butcher. The ispaker b'rav Tuvi Bar Masa. And he spoke chutzpah to him. Imnu alei Abaye v'Rova to defend the kovod of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, they got together, presumably with a third dayan as well, although it's not mentioned. Veshamtu, and they put this tavcha in shamta. Lesoif, after that, this tavcha took it to heart. Ozel paisel abadina, he went to Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, he asked him for mechila, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry, and he clapped a shamnu baganu. And now Rav Tuvi Bar Masna reported back to Abaye v'Rova, I have been appeased, and now you can do what you want. You can even remove the shamta. So they wanted to, but Amar Abaye, hey Chilavin, what should we do? Lishulei, should we go and remove it now? Lechal shamta lei tlos in yoimin. The shamta hasn't lasted for 30 days. Abaye understood the Gemara before that says that shamta is for 30 days; that it's got to be a minimum of 30 days. So therefore, he 1 or 2 or 3 days into the 30 days, this tavcha had already appeased and had made peace with Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, but I don't feel authorized to remove the shamta yet. I got to wait for 30 days. So you're going to go and say no? Okay, so you wait for 30 days. But lo lishrile kaboy rabbanon lemeil. All the rabbanon are saying that they need meat for their mishpachas and for the families and for the community. And this is the tafka. This is, I guess, the only butcher in town, and therefore we need his services. And he's in shamta. We can't. Maybe you heard something about this. Amalei says, yeah. Hachi amar av tachlifa barvini amar Shmuel. Tut osar v'tut shari. Tut is like the English word toot, to go and toot your horn. Meaning, we said before, how do you go and put someone in the chayrim by going and blowing the shofar? So when you hear the shofar, you hear the tooting of the shofar. Toot, 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 toot. That same toot that can aser, that same toot can be matir. In other words, take out the shofar that you used 3 days ago to put him in the chayrim.
Remove it.
And remove it and go and blow the shofar. So this is what I heard from Rav Tachlifa Bar Avimi Omer Shmuel. Amalei Sabai told him, Hanimil Mamoin, if we're dealing talk with Mamonis, you're right. The same toot that asers, you have a toot that matters. Ah, well, Afkirusa, Adachai Lisham Talei, Tlosin Yomin, I have the Kabbalah, you got to wait 30 days, and we're kind of, our hands are tied. So the Gemara now derives from that halacha. Amalei Kazav Rabbaya, Hani Bei Tlosa, Dishamitu, Lei Osu Tlosa Achrini, Visharulei. That when you have a bezin of three that puts somebody in shamta, you cannot have another bezin to go and release the shamta. It's got to be the same individuals that put the shamta; they remove the shamta. Deboilu, because in fact we had that shayla. Hani bei klosa deshemitu myla meisi klosa achrini b'sharolei. If bezin A put somebody in chayrim, can you have bezin B release the chayrim? Now, how do we see this from Abaye? Says Rashi, because we see that Abaye was asking all these questions. How can we possibly go and remove? We got to wait 30 days. Why didn't Abaye say, listen, I did my job, I put him in Chayrim. Let three other Rabbanim come together and remove it. Let them worry about it. You are Tzanish, you have to wait 30 days. Don't you have to wait 30 days? Why is Abaye still involved? Because Abaye held that since he was the one that put on the Shamta, he's the one that has to remove the Shamta. It's Toshima. We have no braisa that deals with this in a little bit more detail. Menuda l'rab, menuda l'talmid, menuda l'talmid, and menuda l'rab. This is a classic case of yesh b'chlal masai emana, meaning that if a person is menuda because he was mevaza, he did something wrong, he spoke chutzbedik to the rab, then automatically this nidui is not only effective vis-a-vis the rab, but menuda l'talmid. Any of the Talmidim also have to take on themselves this nidui against that individual because he spoke hefkedik, kirusa, he spoke with chutzpah to the rab.
Isn't it? But why does the Talmidim,
everybody said,
a little, you know. Menuda l'talmid. However, what happened if it's the Talmid kavoid, which didn't rise to the level of the rab, then ain't menuda l'rab. And then the rab can go and say, you know, okay, he insulted the talk of my Talmud, it's talking not a nice thing, come on in, let's discuss it, let's see. So therefore, it's not an automatic nidui to others, including the Rav of this Talmud. Continues the Braisa, if locally in his city that individual put him into Chayim, that the Bezin of the city, then Menudli Racheret, it automatically, this is far widening. For a far wide and broad chayim. However, Menud Lira Cheres is somewhere else, and Menud Lira, because maybe when he comes back to his city, the local Rabbanim will feel that it was not deserved, and so therefore it is not an automatic nidoy where his local rabbis are situated. Menud Lenasi, if a person is Menud Lenasi, in other words, he spoke poorly about the king, the ruler, and he becomes a nidoy, then automatically Menud L'Chai Yisrael. If Menud L'Chai Yisrael, however, if he spoke bad about a particular yid, any Menud Lenasi, that doesn't reach the case of the Nasi. It would apply to all the other peers. In other words, if Yankel is not paying Beryl and you put it into Chayim, then vis-a-vis the rank and file of Klal Yisrael, he's Menudim. However, it doesn't rise to the Nasi. The Nasi can say, I'm still above all of this, and therefore it doesn't affect me. So we see from this Braisa that there are different levels of the Nidui in terms of who is affected by the Nidui. Not necessarily is it everybody. It depends on who was the subject and caused this nidui to be placed in the first place.
Isn't a nidui not a cheirim?
Oh. Nidui is the same as shamta. Nidui and shamta are synonymous. But let's finish off, because finished off. Why did we bring this price in? What happens if the Bezdin consisted of, among others, at least one Talmid? In other words, not the chief rabbi. And he was one of those that was menadeh that fellow. And unfortunately, the menadeh himself, that Talmud that was part of the Bezdin, he passed away. And now the person who was the put into the object of the Shamta comes back to the Bezdin, the two remaining rabbis, and he says to them, I'm sorry, and what I did was wrong, and I apologize, and you see, he did a tshuva shleima. They're willing to go and lift the nidoi. However, the third person isn't around. So what are we going to do? Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, Chalkoi Eina Mufar. Unfortunately, he's going to remain with that stain on him for the rest of his life. Because the third person who put him into Nidoy, like we said before, that the one, the Bezdin that was Menada, has to be the Bezdin to remove it. And since he's not around, he can't remove it. Shema Minos, what do I see from that Braisa? Tlas, I see three halachas. Shema Minos, Talmud Shenido Lekvoidoi, Niduyoi Nidoy. If a Talmud Menada on his own covet, even though it's not that he insulted the other rabbi, they insulted me, I'm upset, I put him in Nidoy. Yes, he has that rishus. But like the Braisa says, it only affects him, it doesn't affect his rabbi. His rabbi can still say, I'm one higher level, I don't have to recognize that Nidoy. But vis-a-vis that Talmud and his peers, yes, it is effective. Nidoy and Nidoy. Like we just said, that each one of the rabbis has to be made for his own chedek. Ushmamina hani beitlosa. You cannot go and substitute other dayanim, because if you could substitute other dayanim, what difference does it make that one of the rabbis never passed away? You say, so let's bring in another rabbi. He will succeed to him, or he'll replace him. So you see, no, you can't. So all of you are very concerned into, oh, that really sounds terrible. If a person gets into nidui and one of the rabbis passes away, you're stuck. Well, it sounds like you can never go and do it even after 30 days, because the person that has to be matir, it doesn't go away after 30 days. You can reinforce it after 30 days, but it doesn't go away.
There's no automatic expiration date.
There's no automatic expiration date. Amr Hilchasad Allah is Hani Beit Losa Vishamitu, also Beit Losa Achrini Vishorle. Yes, if the first Bezin is no longer, they've moved on, they're not interested, they put someone in Shamta, you can get a new Bezin to go and be matir. My love, ain't a mufer cloud. Doesn't it sound like it's ain't a mufer the oilam forever and ever until the end of the guy's life? The way now Amin is reinterpreting this price that we just learned, it's taka true that individual's shamta doesn't get removed. Oh, but you just said now you get another Bezin. Yeah, it doesn't get removed just based on the two remaining rabbis. You had a Bezin originally of three. One of them passed away. The other two unanimously say we should go and remove the Shamta. It doesn't do the trick, because Chelkei Einei Mufer. What you have to do is bring either a new Bezin or a third person to replace him, and he'll go and join the Beis Din, and he'll be martyred, then that heter will work.
Because the Beis Din shekels go a bit,
it's not because of the shekel, because chelkei animal first. Anyone that participated in that original pronouncement that that person goes into Shamta, he has to be the person that removes it. If he himself, unfortunately, has been removed from the oilam, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has never taken him away, so then you have to have a replacement, so that you have a third person to remove that shamta, to remove the excommunication.
That means that they big besim, someone in Chayren, I didn't get three people, small banim, they nullify that Chayren?
That's a good question, whether you need a besim that's a godly man or a bechach or a minion or something. Agmar doesn't go into it. You'd have to look up Shulchan Aruch and Rambam what the halacha is. Perhaps it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin or Malkus. So it's more like the son of
Who said Menuda the Rabbi, Menuda the Talmud.
Yeah.
Who said that was when insulted
the rabbi? Then automatically
now we're switching gears. We're saying if it's who among the court or initially we were also talking about this was the court of the Rav, or in other words of a high level court, and are we switching gears in the middle?
We're
talking about you insulted the Rav or you insulted the Talmud, and then we're talking about how did the Beis Din, what was the
it's not that we're changing channels, we're moving on. We started off how and when do you go and impose a nidui in the first place, the Rav, the Talmud, who can impose it, etc. Now the shamta has been imposed. Now we want to remove it. Said this price, you want to remove it. The same people that put the shamta on, whether it was for the Rav, for the Talmud, for the other ear, this ear, whatever, whoever put the shamta on, they are the guys that have to go and remove it. And the Gemara was Madaik, that means that you cannot have another bezin to go and remove it because these same people, and if one of them passed away, it remains forever. But Amemir said that's not the halacha. The halacha is that you can have a replacement. That's what we said, that's not mufar. That means until someone else replaces him. But once somebody replaces him, he can go and join
him. Let's say it's Menuda the Talmud. Who put this person
in? So the Gemara said that even the Talmud can be Menuda l'chvoidoi. He doesn't even have to have three other rabbis. He himself.
When it's talking about Menuda the Talmud, it was the Talmud himself.
Or could it be a Bezin that did a Nidri because he was Mavaz of this Talmud? Right. Well, as far as the Rav is concerned, that didn't rise to the level of chutzpah. It's not like you're criticizing Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. You're criticizing your Bianchel Smith, who was also Chosh of a Talmud, but
so rise to that level. So therefore, Moshe can speak to this person, doesn't have to.
So it appears from our Gemara. Yes, okay. On the left. Yeah.
The Iracheres and Iro thing, though, seems to undermine this because if someone's put in Shamta in another city, then his city, he's not in Shamta in his city.
That's what Imar says, right?
But if he's in Shamta in his city, he's in Shamta everywhere. Effectively.
Exactly right.
Effectively. So are people so tied in their identity to their city that their city has an extra level of jurisdiction over them?
Why this is the case, I don't know. I can speculate, and my conjecture would be that the local rabbis know that he's a chashuva person. Therefore, that the other bezin outside that felt that he was not law-abiding, they don't really know what
the background.
In the background. Okay. If they would know the background, they would know that he's really a wonderful person. They should never put him into shamta. Maybe they should be put into shamta, not him. Tanurban. The minimum nidui is 30 days. If you get menuda, it's 30 days. Whether or not you can remove it within the 30 days, that we had the discussion before with the case of the butcher, whether he was for Mominis, whether it was for Rafkirusa, for Gavaraba. That's what we discussed before. But the minimum normally of a nidui is 30 days. The nizifa pachas mizayin yom. Nizifa means not that they put him in shamta, but they gave him a rebuke. They screamed at him. Rashi uses the lotion of gara. They yell at the guy, what did you do? So that means that's a 7-day period. So it's not a 30-day period. It's a much shortened period. Mor doesn't tell us what the differences are. It would seem that Nazifa is the same as Shamta. The only difference is instead of 30 days, it's 7 days. Even though I don't have a concrete right, anyway, so the point is, it says 7 days, and that's a gara.
What does we mean by rebuke seven every day for 7 days? They rebuke him?
No. If he was rebuked, then apparently the same halachas that apply during the excommunication period also apply to this individual, but not for 30 days, only for 7 days. The fact that he was in Bezin, they didn't go and excommunicate him. But they screamed at him, they said, your benezifa, that means for the next 7 days, apparently the hilchus shamta applied to him, but not for 30 days.
So someone who's rebuked, they also have laws of
this excommunication. Zog the Gemara, Amr Chizda. So Rav Chizda said that's all in Eretz Yisrael. Nidui shalanu kinezifa shalehem. Nidui here in Bavel, by us in Chutz La'aretz, our nidui, if the Bezdin says we pronounce this person to be a nidui, it's not a 30-day nidui, but it's kinezifa shalem, it's like the nezifa in Eretz Yisrael, so it's only for 7 days. So if the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael writes in a shtat, this person refused to listen, and therefore he's menuda in Eretz Yisrael, it'll be 30 days. In Chutz La'aretz, if they write the same words, he would be only for 7 days, because our nidui is like their nezifa, 7 days, not 30 days.
Can the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael put someone, let's say, in Bavel in excommunication? Or
if he's there locally and he's under their jurisdiction, they can do it, 3,000 miles away. But again, all the questions you're asking are really on target, but they're not on target in the Gemara in particular. You have to look,
Got it.
You want to know all the rules that apply to witnesses and this and
right,
that,
right.
We can talk about that for a year. But that's beyond the scope of the Gemara. It's part of the context, but it's not directly on the Gemara. Anyway, so nidui shalom and zifa shalhem, and zifa to do shiva. And the zifa is, like we said a moment ago, in Eretz Yisrael, 7 days. So the nidui by uns in Chutz La'aretz is 7 days. Frank the Gemara Sugoi, not more than 7 days. And the Gemara is going to bring a number of stories that happened. But Rav Shimon bar Revi ubar kapora have yasbe kagarsi. Bar Kapora and Rav Shimon bar Revi apparently were chavrusis, and they were sitting together and they were learning. Kasha u'shmaitze. And then they had a difficult kasha where they weren't able to easily answer that kasha. So omelet Rav Shimon bar Kapora. Rav Shimon, remember, was the son of Revi. So he said to Bar Kapora, Dovezeh Tzorech Revi. This is such a difficult Gemara. Wow, the only one that can resolve this is if we go and take it to my father, we take it to Revi, Rabbi Narkodesh, he would know the answer. Only Bar Kapora, Rav Shimon. So Bar Kapora says to Rav Shimon, Umar Revi Oyim B'Dovezeh. I don't know what your father, the great Rebbe, can even say about this matter. What does that mean? So Rashi says 6 lines before the end, Ein Rebbe ba'olam hayadeh dovezeh. This is so complicated, this is so complex, that even Rebbe, there's no Rebbe in the world that can go and respond and explain this Gemara to the fullest degree. Now, Rashi says he didn't mean Chas V'Shalom to be
derisive,
right, to denigrate or mock the great Rebbe. He just meant to say this is such a difficult one. If Rabbi Akiva Eger was around, he wouldn't be able to answer this. We're not talking bad about Rabbi Akiva Eger. I'm just saying this is such a difficult Gemara.
It's material, not the Gavra.
Fine. It's also Omle Lavua. So Rabbi Shimon repeated this back to his father, and once again Rashi says Lafi Tumoi Falami Shem Lishnabish. He didn't want to say anything bad. He just, at the end of the Seder, they came home, and now they're eating the dinner together. And Rabbi said, "No, what sugya are learning?" So he said, "Oh, Tata, I have to tell you, this Gemara today was so difficult. My Chavrusa Bar Kapora, he said, this is so difficult that there's no Rebbe in the whole world that can go." No Rebbe in the whole world that can answer that, really? Anyway, Ikmid, so Rebbe had Hakpada. Oh, hey, I'm sure Shelley wants to lighten things up for us. Yes, Shelley.
The word derisive was used.
Yes.
That was the clue. It was derisive
and not the Rabbana. Beautiful. Shkoyach. Thank you very much for lightening up on the discussion here. But Rebbe still was, even after your beautiful comment, Rebbe was still upset. Also, Bar Kapora, this Chayuzi, right? So, Bar Kapora wanted to go and now visit Rebbe. Rashi says that the reason why he wanted to visit Rebbe, because Rebbe, unfortunately, was not well. And the reason is because other Gemara say that Rebbe asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be Mekabel Yisurim. So that will be Menachem, so he'll be Noki after 120 years. So he took upon himself all types of ailments and illnesses. So, Bar Kapora came to visit him. Why Rashi needs to say that? It appears that Bar Kapora otherwise felt uncomfortable going to Rebbe because he heard that Rebbe was against him, was upset with him. He may have considered that like a nezifa. He might have considered that like a shtikl shamta, and therefore I'm not allowed to. But I'll speak a chol. Let me figure that might supersede. Anyway, bottom line is Bar Kapora went to visit Rebbe.
What was it that he did wrong? He just.
He said nobody, even Rebbe, can understand this material.
This Gemara is so shred. There's no Rebbe boiler.
Right, this material about Menuda and Nezifa is so difficult, okay. Even Rebbe Yehuda Anasi can't can't understand it.
Yeah.
Amalei bar kapara. So Amalei. So now when he appears, Rebbe looks at him and he says, bar kapara, eini makir chami oilam. I don't recognize you. I've never seen you before. I don't know who you are. So bar kapara got
his name. Calls him by his name though.
Maybe he first came in and said, who are you? My name is Bar Kapara.
Okay.
Bar Kapara, I don't recognize. Yes, what would you like to say, Shelley?
Maybe he was asking for Kapara.
He was asking for Kapara, Givaldik. Zokimar, especially since this involves matters of jurisprudence, it was matters that involved the bar. So Bar Kapara, very good. Anyway, Yodas and Bar Kapara got the message. Yodas the Nokan Nuntzim Vedate. Nokan Nuntzim Vedate means he saw that Rebbe was upset at him. And therefore, Nog the Zifusim and Avshay, Flossin Yoimin. He took upon himself in the Zifa for 30 days. And this is the Gemara's Kasha. We said a moment ago that in Bavel, and Bavel, we're talking about now in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. Rebbe, we said that the Zifa is only 7 days because he didn't put him, it's just that he's angry at him, say, so like a Gara. Yeah. So it's only a 7 day thing, not a 30 day thing. Is Rosh Shver, didn't you say the Zifa is 7 days?
It was self imposed.
The form was, he's sorry, he didn't mean to insult him.
The Gemara assumes that if the Zif is only 7 days, he would only practice for 7 days. In fact, he took on 30 days. He felt that the Zifa's Rebbe is 30 days. We're not done yet.
This means to take upon the
What it means is that even though the Rebbe didn't officially tell him, I put you in the Zifa, which would be a form of Chayim, he said, I see that Rebbe is upset at me, so I deem his upsetness with me as if he would formally say, you are the Zifa.
Okay, but the Zifa is a social relationship. How can one say, I am now socially outcast if no one else...
He presumably shared the information with everybody else, told all of his friends, Romans and countrymen, I am now been a Zifa for the next 7 days, in this case for 30 days, stay away, I'm going to stay away from you, you stay away from me, and so on and so forth. Anyway, Shuv Pam Echad, another similar case, God the Rebbe Shali Yishnu Letalmidim Bishuk, that any Rebbe should go and teach his Talmidim in private, not out in the public, in the marketplace. My Doresh, based on what? Because it's a passing in Shirishim. Chamuki Rechayach Kemoi Chaloim. And just like a Yerach Kemoi Chaloim. Kemoi Chaloim. Ma Yerach Besei. So just like a thigh of an individual, of course, is covered over, covered up. So therefore, Abdul Torah Besei. And that passing is referring to the Torah. And that also has got to be Besei. And so therefore, Rebbe said, nobody teach out in the public, teach privately. What happened? Yotzer Reb Chia Vishana Lishnei Bnei Echa Bishuk. Reb Chia went out and he taught his two nephews out in the open. Bishuk, who were the two nephews? Rav and Reb Chana. And Rashi reminds us that Rav was a double nephew of Reb Chia, both a paternal nephew and a maternal nephew. If you want to know how is that possible, you have to look at the Gemara in Pesachim Daf David or the Gemara in Sanhedrin that goes into that in greater detail. Anyway, but he taught them Bishuk. Shoma Rebbe heard. Rebbe heard about an ikvet. He was upset. After all, Rebbe said, "Don't do it, Bishuk." And Reb Chia did it, Bishuk. Also, Reb Chia, this chayuzi, right? So Reb Chia wanted to appease Rebbe, and he came and appeared to Rebbe. Oh, Malay! And instead of Rebbe referring to as Reb Chia, he referred to him as Ia. I think somebody's calling for you outside. Now, what's the reason why he called him Ia? So Rashi says, on the fourth line on the right hand side, Lashon Gnai, to go and embarrass him, he called him Ia. However, the other Mefarshim reminds us, and not too long ago, back in the Masechtas Megillah on Daf Chafei Amid Beis, it said that Reb Chia had difficulty in distinguishing between a ches and an ayin. In fact, even there are some Hungarians today, if you listen carefully, instead it's, oh, as a chusenbucha, they'll say he's a chusenbucha, because they cannot pronounce the ches, they pronounce it more like a hey, and in this case, he pronounced it more like an ayin. So Rebbe was mocking Reb Chia and saying, Ia, because that's the way Chia, if somebody asked him, what's your name, Chia? He would say, I'm here, Ia. So that's why he called him Ia. Meikar lecha b'chutz, somebody's calling you from outside. In other words, please, leave, because somebody needs you outside. And it's Marsha. Somebody else says that the reason why he said, is because he said, don't learn Divrei Torah Bachutz. He says, oh, you want to learn Bachutz? Somebody's calling you Bachutz. Maybe they want you to give a shir now outside. Anyway, Reb Chiya got the message. Yodah denoka milta bedate. He saw, obviously, that Rebbe was upset at him. And again 30 days. And he said before Nazif is only 7 days. We're going to get back to that in a moment. Now the Gemara tells Vyom Tlosin, on the 30th day, Rebbe called to Reb Chiya and asked him to come. Sholachle. And he said, Ta, come. I want you to come back to me. I want to talk to you. Hold the Sholachle. And then a few minutes or a couple of hours later, he sent him a new message to Loy Lacy. I changed my mind. Don't come. Why did he originally tell him, come to me? And then why did he change his mind? It was the 30th day. And he figured, okay, today's day number 30. I can now go and remove from him this nazifa, this shamt of sorts. Then afterwards, he figured that in these halachas, other halachas, of course, there is miktasiyam kikulai, like chasashon be'avelis, on the seventh day, miktasiyam kikulai. But here, he felt, not miktasiyam kikulai, and therefore that's why he withdrew the invitation for him to come.
It was self-imposed nazifa. It wasn't Rebbe that imposed nazifa.
But he heard about it, and therefore he wants to... The Saif Asa, eventually, guess what happened? He did show up. Reb Chiya did show up after all. Amalei, Rebbe said, my Asa, why'd you come? Amalei, shalach lima. Didn't you call me delayed that I should come? Yeah, but v'al shalach l'cha delayed. Afterwards, I sent you a second message that you shouldn't come. Amalei, Rebbe, I got the first message. I didn't get the second message, and therefore that's why I'm here. Karalei, so Rebbe saw about himself that b'tzoyis Hashem darki ish gam oivav yashlam itoy. This is a pasuk in Mishlei, and therefore what Rebbe is saying is, I see b'tzoyis Hashem, Hashem is happy with darki ish with Reb Chiya. After all, he allowed Reb Chiya to get the first message, not the second message. So apparently, Hashem Yisborach wants that this nazifa should be resolved and should go away. Even I, that am now a shtickle enemy, so to speak, in quotation marks, I'm going to be mashlum with him. This is a sign from Hashem that I should work it out. So he asked him, my time of Marhochi. After all, I told you, I made a declaration that people shouldn't teach Bachutz and you taught Bachutz. On Malay, there's another passage in Mishlei. Chachma is Bachutz Taraina. That when you have Chachma, Bachutz, you should spread it out. Bachutz Taraina is like a Lashon Rina. You should go and sing and you should go and share this Chachma out in the open with others. And that's why I give the share to my two nephews, Bachutz. Amalei, so Rebbe said to Reb Chiya, in Karisa, if you learned Mikra, loy Shanisa, you didn't learn Mishnah. Im Shanisa, if you learned Mishnah, loy Shelashta. Or it could be Shanisa and Shelashta needs to repeat. If you learned it one time, you can learn it a second time, you learn it a second time, you learn it a third time. Im Shelashta, loy Pirshu Lecha. Nobody ever told you the right pshat in this pasuk. You know what the pshat in this pasuk is? Chochma is Pachutz Taroina Kid Rava. The Yom Rava. Kola Oisek. Whoever is oisik toira b'mifnim, in other words, quietly in the besmedish, nobody talks about him, he's in the back bench, eventually the toira itself will sprout and blossom. People will talk about who? The great goyin, the great kovish. Who is that great goyin? You know, that person sitting in the back. Then that backbencher, you know, nobody ever paid any attention to him. Oh, you know why they didn't? Because of his asmada. He learned every single day, 12 hours in Bismarish when everybody else was playing around. Oh, eventually, his Torah Machrez is Olam Bachutz. People will find out about him. So this Chachma is Bachutz Torah. It doesn't mean to go and teach Chachma Bachutz. It means that eventually people will sing his praises, Bachutz. Frank tomorrow walks in, but I have another pasuk. Loi merosh basesa dibarti. That you don't go and tell Torah basesa, but you should go and tell it out in the open. Says, well, who be yoy medakala? That's somebody yoy medakala. Yoy medakala means the days before Yom Tov, when they had masses coming together to hear the Minhagim and the rules and regulations affecting that Yom Tov. So then, they typically would have hundreds, if not thousands, of people participating. There's no besmedish that can hold all this tremendous crowd. So then you have to do it Bachutz. Then you can't do it Baseser. But if you have a small crowd, you should do it Baseser. Frank Dimar, Rav Chiya, Hai, Chamugi, Rechaich, Kam, Chagoyim, Rav Chiya, Chamugi, Rechaich, Kemoy Chaloyim. What does he do with that pasuk? That was the makor for Rebbe to say that it should be like a Yerach, just like a Yerach is Beseser, the Ritoisha ought to be Beseser. So you want Mukilovit stuff to be Lutzchasadim. We're not talking about Torah. Torah you should go and learn in public and everybody should find out about it. You're talking about Tzedakah Milutzchasadim, that you should be quiet about. If you've now gone and given a large amount to a particular yeshiva or a particular ani, don't go and sing about it all out, but keep it under the covers.
Don't we have a thing before that you should learn Torah outside and they would sit in the fields because your mind will be more effective learning Torah when we have a open area? We've had it many times and people would, you don't want to step on the heads of the students outside in the field. We've said many times that Rabbi Yom are learning outside.
That they were learning outside is apparently always by Yom HaTekala, or it's talking about a different generation when Rebbe wasn't around. Rebbe said for his Dar, for his that time, that everybody should go and learn quietly, not out in the open. Anyway, what do I see from the two?
I mean, that was talked about 2 years ago. We had 90,000 people.
Kanayin hara, Baruch Hashem, halavai. Next time it should be double and triple. What would Rebbe do on that? Rebbe might, I'd say.
It's
Yom HaKala. Exactly. There's no Bismedish that can hold all of them, so I'm glad they came to the stadium. Now, soon there won't be a stadium in the world that can fit Kanayin hara, all the people that are learning. Anyway, Al Menazim Adesu, Shlosim Yoimin. So I see from this, Nazifa is 30 days. Because both Par Kapara took upon himself, as well as Reb Chia. Why did they take 30? They should have taken just 7 days. Everyone is Zifas Nasi Shani. You're talking about the Zifa of the Nasi, of Rebuta Nasi. You're not just talking about anybody.
Extra strength.
Super powerful, super concentrated, 30 days in Zifa. So if you want a Zifa, you don't. Come have it. Now, let's go back to Chutzot. Remember, Reb Chizda said, in Eretz Yisrael, the Nidui is 30, the Zifa is 7. By uns in Chutz Laaretz, our nidui is like the nazifa in Eretz Yisrael, which is only 7. And what is our nazifa? How much is that? Says you never come out. That's chad yom. That's one day. When Shmuel and Marukva would learn together, Habi Yasvi Garsi Shmeitzer, Habi Yosef Marukva Kami to Shmuel Varichik Dal Rames. Shmuel was considered to be the greater scholar, the greater Talmud Chacham of the two, even though Mar Ukva had the distinction of being the Rosh Beis Din at his time. So, yes, he had the position, he was Mar Ukva, he was the Rosh Beis Din, but Shmuel was greater than him in Chachma. So therefore, when they were learning privately, Shmuel was like the Rebbe, and Mar Ukva was like the Talmud. However, when it came to Din Torah, have Yosef Shmuel, Kami the Mar Ukva, B'richik Dal Rames. Then Mar Ukva was the one sat on top of the platform, so to speak, and Shmuel was a little bit removed, because to go and show respect to the Rosh Beis Din. Mar Ukva knew, of course, that Shmuel is the greater Talmud Chacham. So even though, in terms of his Rosh Beis Din duties, he had to go and sit somewhat elevated, but what he did was he had people come and carve out or dig under his seat where he normally sits to go and make it lower than it typically would be, and then to cover over the hole they put a tzipsa, they put a mat, the Yosef Lamein, he would sit on top of that. Why did he do that? So he should be able to hear Shmuel more clearly, because if he's much higher than Shmuel, when Shmuel says something he might not hear it, this way he'd be lower down, he'd be able to hear him better. Anyway, Mara tells us this is kind of the background. Now let's tell us the story. The story was called Yoyma have a Malavi Lay Mar Ukva Lishmuel. Under normal circumstances, when Shmuel would go home, lunchtime or in the evening, whatever, Mar Ukva would escort him to go and show covet to his Rebbe, to Shmuel. And he would go with him out of Shpizei until Shmuel's house. Yoyma Chad, there was one day, Itrid Bedinei, that Mar Ukva was busy with the Din Torah, that he was thinking through all of the evidence and all the halacha, and therefore his mind now caused him to become forgetful that now is the time to go and escort Shmuel home, and he was delayed, and eventually he left the Beis Din Shtibul to go home, have Ozel Shmuel Basrei, and then Shmuel followed after Mar Ukva. Instead of Mar Ukva accompanying Shmuel, Shmuel is now accompanying Mar Zutra.
My apologies.
If you've heard on the tape,
I'm sorry.
You could go and learn. It's already an hour and 2 minutes into the shiur. Anyway, we still got plenty to cover. So Shmuel Basrei. So Shmuel is now following Mar Ukva. Kimot lebeisei, when they got to the home of Mar Ukva, Omalei. So now Shmuel had been offended that Mar Ukva not only didn't he accompany him, but that Shmuel had to go and accompany Mar Ukva. So Amalei, so he said now to Mar Ukva, Leinoigalach, literally Mar Betigrei. What means Leinoigalach? If you look at the last Rashi on the right hand side, here the Rashi is on both sides, Leinoigalach, Leimar, Leisagilach, Dazilme Basrach, isn't it enough that I have walked behind you to go and escort you? Now look at the top Rashi on the left hand side, literally Mar Betigrei, Havli Rishus Elimheder. Will you allow me to now have Rishus to go home? In other words, I have accompanied you as if I was a Talmud to the Rebbe, and so therefore I address you now as pseudo Rebbe. Can you allow me to go home now? So now, obviously, yeah, sure. So Mar Ukva got the message. Yod enoch et milta menafshe. Oberase. Yod enoch et milta menafshe. It's a slightly different gears than before. But the point is, like all of the others, he got the message that Shmuel is angry at him. Knowing this, it was an afshay, chad yoima, taka for one day, like we just said now, that the chutzlars, the nezifa is only a one day thing.
Mar Ukva was in Chayrim for one day?
Not that he was in Chayrim, he took upon himself nezifa. And nezifa is a lower form of a shamta, and it was self-imposed. Not that Shmuel had said anything to him, but for the next day, he's going to consider himself to be.
It's like a kabbal surah.
It's nothing, okay?
Mar Ukva was a Rosh Bezdin of the Bezdin. That's right.
It's a Rosh Bezdin. It's a Rosh Kalusa or something.
Yeah, and in this case it was a Rosh Bezdin. The Gemara tells us another story. How it said there was a lady to have a Yasva Bishvila. She was sitting outside in the market. Have a Pashtekare. And her leg was extended as if into the street. Vika Menifa Chushloi. What was she doing there? She was winnowing. Chushloi means barley, barley kernels. There was a Talmud Chacham that wanted to pass through, and therefore she should have withdrawn her leg so he should be able to go and walk. She shouldn't have an obstacle, but she didn't. Omar, so now this Tzur Merabanan said, "Come, Chatzifa, it's a look at this woman. Ah, chutzpah! She sees my coming away. She should have withdrawn a little bit." Anyway, she was upset about this story, obviously, and she wanted to know, what does that mean in practical terms? So she asked Rav Nachman, what do I do? Omalah, he said to her, Mishamas shamta mipume, did you hear that this Tumer Rabbanan put a shamta on you? Omalah, no, I didn't hear anything about a shamta, I didn't hear anything about a chayrim, no nidui. Omalah, so he said to her, that means you only were the subject of a nazifa. So you know, you're a nazifus, chajim, benafshech, one day is enough, like we said before.
Which means what? You don't talk to people?
The Gemara doesn't really get into it, but I'm assuming that nazifa is a lighter form of a shamta, and number one, certainly in duration, it's not 7 days or 30 days; it's only one day. And presumably means, you know, hold your own, don't go out in the public, don't mix with other people, go and treat yourself as if you have to quarantine for a day, that type of thing. Zutra Bar Tuvia have a kaposik sidur kamid Rav Yehuda. Zutra Bar Tuvia was repeating psukim in front of Rav Yehuda. Kimot lahai psukim, when he got to the following pasik, the eile divrei David ho achroinim. What is this referring to? This is psukim in Shmuel, in Shmuel Beis. And so these are the words of David ho achroinim. Now, this Talmud, this Zutra Bar Tuvia, who is reading this in front of Rav Yehuda, says, Omalei, Zutra Bar Tuvia to his Rebbe, to Rav Yehuda, can you explain to me, it says over here, David Dovid Achroinim, Achroinim Achlal De'ikar Rishoinim. Obviously there must be Rishoinim. And Rishoinim Ayninu, what are those Rishoinim? And Rashi explains that typically the word Divrei David doesn't appear. So if it appears over here, it must mean that these are Divrei Nevuah. And therefore he said, oh, this is Divrei Nevuah. Were there any previous in the Nevuah? I don't remember hearing in the Nevuah. If you see the Rashi on the left-hand side, third, fourth line, Mechlal de Ikar Rishonim, Valele Metzina Shema David Divrei, Elev Mikra Zeh, the Divrei, Losh in Nevuah. The word Divrei in Tanakh means Nevuah, and I don't remember that it says anywhere else Divrei David. So if this is Nevuah, what were the earlier Nevuah? After all, you're saying this is Achroinim. What were the Rishonim? This is what the Zutra Bar Tuvia asked Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda did not know the answer to the question. So he asked Rishonim, Ayninu. Shosik Falei Amalei Lamidi, he didn't answer. Hodr Amalei. So a few minutes later, he repeated the question again. Achroinim Achal Dik Rishonim. Rishonim Ayin, what are the Rishonim? This, of course, annoyed Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda now said to Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amalei, my Daitach, what do you hold? What do you believe? Tla Yodah Pirusha the Haikra Lav Gabarabahu, a person that doesn't know the explanation of that particular pasuk, he's not a chosh of a person. In other words, you're now looking down upon me and denigrating me because I don't know the pshat in the pasuk. And therefore, the Zutra Bar Tuvia realized that he, Rav Yehuda, was angry at him. Yodin Nanoke Milze Bedate. So there, before that, was probably Ulze Bedate, not Bera Ose. It looked like a resh, but it's probably a dalis. Yodin Nanoke Milze Bedate. He saw that he was angry at him. No, he's a Muslim and Afshe, and he took upon himself the Ziva, Chad, Yoima. So we see three separate cases of people that had a nazifa placed on them, either explicitly or implicitly, and they were noyig for one day. So this is taka proof that nazifa by Unz and Chutzlar, it's not 7 days, it's only one day. Okay, says Yimar, fine, you've proved your point. Uda'asana Allah. But since, in fact, we raised this issue that Zutra Batubi raised, Mia, Achroinim, Achlal, the Iker Rishonim, Rishonim, what's taka the answer to this question? Efreit are good? And for the Yimar, Vida, Bedovah, Hashem, Etiri, Ashir, Azois, Biyoim, Hitzel, Hashem, Oysim, Mikaf, Kal, Oivov, Umikaf, Sho'ul. David HaMelech was happy, and he went and sang the following, he said the following, Divrik Shir HaZois, on the day that he was saved from Shaul. Omle Kodesh Baruch Hu LeDavid, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, David, Shira Ato Imer, Alma Pelosi Shul Shaul, you're saying Shira about Shaul HaMelech, you think that Shaul was small potatoes? El Mole Ato Shaul, if you would be Shaul, Rashi said not that if you would be Shaul, but if you would have been born in the mazel of Shaul, but who David, he would have been born in your mazel, then Shaul would have been the victor, and you would have been the vanquished. Ibadati kam ledovim mipanav, meaning that Shaul was in fact much greater than you think, and therefore don't say Shira when this great Shaul HaMelech has fallen. I understand that's why it's in the passage. She goyim ledovim, asher shor laHashem al divrei Kush ben Yemini. She goyim ledovim, says Rashi. Shigoyin, it was a shogeg. He realized that he made a mistake by singing Ashashar, that he sang about the Mapala of Kush ben Yamini. Who is Kush ben Yamini? Kush Shemai, Vali Shol Shemai. We're talking about Shol. And Ma Kushi Mishun Ba'ira, just like a Kushi, his oir, the pigment of his skin looks different. Av Shol Mishun Mamasav. He was also different Mamasav that he was very great. The other Gemaras that say about Shaul, based on the pasuk, that Mishichmoy Ulamale Gavoy Mikolam, not only physical stature but also spiritual stature, he was a great individual. So what do we mean by all of this? We mean to answer the question. Not like Rashi said earlier, that when we said Divrei David, that this was referring to Nevuah, and these are Achroinim, and we're asking about Rishonim, but rather that we're talking about that initially David HaMelech was happy about the fact that Shaul had fallen, and now the Divrei David Achroinim, now he had Charata because he heard from the Kodesh Baruch Hu how great Shaul HaMelech actually was. So this is now the final say, as opposed to his original say. Originally he was happy, and now he was saddened by this turn of events where the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him. Now, since we said that the word Kushi in this connection means Mishuna, the Gemara is going to bring three or four similar eyes. This, of course, is Tzipoira, married to Moshe Rabbeinu. Kushi Shma, Vahali Tzipoira Shma. Makushi Mishuna Ba'ira, Av Tzipoira Mishuna Maser. In other words, she was a Tzadekis, and therefore that's why she's called a Kushis. We find also Ishma Eved Melech HaKushi. Who was the Melech HaKushi? Mikushi Shmoi. I believe Tzidkiah Shmoy talking about Tzidkiah HaMelech, and he was a great tzaddik. And Makush Mishnah Boyer of Tzidkiah, also Mishnah Mamasav, he was a tzaddik. Kiyot Bedor Ato Oimer, Halik Bnei Kushim Atamli. This is one of the haftoidus that we learn during the year, that Klai Yisrael could seem to be Bnei Kushim Atamli, not Basis of Bnei Yisrael. Faitim of Chi Kushim Shimon, or Klai Yisrael Kushim, from Yisrael Shimon, and Makush Mishnah Boyer of Yisrael Mishnah and Bema Asain, Mikol Ha'ubes. So, yes.
Yeah, so seriously, Kushin means a sign of distinction?
No.
Different. different.
Well, distinction in skin, yeah.
Absolutely.
Contrast, different. Correct. Mishuna is different.
Different. But it's saying how wonderful these things are. That's a Zanikam.
They were different in malice, not in chasroin.
Noticeable.
Discernible. Contrast. Contrast.
Contrast was noticeable.
Contrast and complexion?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, yes. Well, contrast and complexion, they're contrast in their actions.
In the partial shot, the superficial shot is different in their complexion. But the Gemara says that spiritually they were also different, that everybody else was regular, and they were extraordinary in their mass and type. So the Gemara writes, Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omer Reb Yonis. Might have said at the bottom, David Ben Yishai and Agever Hukam Ol. Who's might Hukam Ol? David Ben Yishai Shehikim Ula Oyla Shel Tshuva. It was David HaMelech. He was the one that really established the inyan of being about Tshuva. Rashi says that he was not Ro'u Ila Oyse Maisa. David HaMelech was on a very high madrega. He never should have been nailed on the story of Uriachiti Mit Basheva Medigantse Maisa. But the reason why he was destined to do this is that he should be the classic example for all generations of about tshuva, that no matter how badly a person can sin, he can still return to the fold, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should still embrace him and hug him and take him back. So, agrees about tshuva. Anyway, Omar Lekei Yisrael. So now this is a pasuk vayit in Shmuel, Omar. So Dovid HaMelech is saying, Lekei Yisrael, li, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to me, Dovar, who was that to Yisrael? Moishel v'adam, Tzadik Moishel Yiras Elikim. What does this mean? Mike Omar, what does this possibly mean? Omar Bavol, Hochik Omar. This is what David HaMelech said. Omar Elikei Yisrael Li, a Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to me. In other words, Dibert Tzu Yisrael, Hashem said, Ani Moishel Ba'adam. I created mankind, so of course I am the Moishel, I'm the king over mankind. However, Mi Moishel Bi, who is the king over me, says a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kavi Yochel, Tzadik, a Tzadik can be the Moishel over me. Shani Goy Zegzeru Mavatla, like the Gemara says often, Tzadik Mevatel. And so therefore, I make Zeres, and the Tzadik with his Tzidkus, if he asks me, I have to go and annul the Zeres. He's Moshe B.
Does he also know when Tzadik goes for a Shemitai?
Yeah, that's a separate, 100%, yeah. Talking about Vayter, Shkoyach, B'chav, B'zagi, Ben, Zad, Kizit. Now we have another Pasuk in that same area in Tanakh, in Shmuel Beis, and I have the benefit. The pasuk is being quoted in the Gemara in little pieces, so one really should say the whole pasuk in total, in its totality. It says in the pasuk, "Eile shmois hagiboyrim asher leDavid, yoishev bashevis tachemoni, roish hashalishi, hu adinoi hu etzni, al shemoinem meyois cholol bepa'am echos." The pasuk on the surface is a difficult pasuk to understand. Evish Moisa Gibor Mashal of David. Poshim Shat means these are soldiers in his military. Shmoisa Gibor, the real strong guys. Yoisha Beshevas Tachemoini, the sitting Beshevas Tachemoini. Roisha Shulishi, who Adino Etzni, that's the name of a person, Adino Etzni. Al Shmoina Menes Cholo, on top of 800 people that fell in battle, Bepam Echas. What does all that mean? So Gibor now explains the words slowly. So to my Shmoyz Gibor Hashem LeDavid Yoshev Hashavus. My Kama. What does this mean? Amar Bava Hachi Kama. Ve'ilu Shmoyz Gevuroish Shel David. We're not talking about the Giborim, the people, the warriors that fought for David, but we're talking about the Gevurois, the Midois Toivois of David, which was a Gevura that shows his spiritual and moral strength. What was that? Yoshev Hashavus. When he was the Rebbe in Yeshiva, he never sat elevated from everybody else, Ella al Gabi Karka, only on the floor. Well, what's so special? The Chokam, they have a Rabbi, Ira Ha'iri. Previously, Ira Ha'iri was the Rebbe of David HaMelech and the others. And so when his Rebbe, Ira Ha'iri Kayim, have a Masal Rabbanan, he, Ira Ha'iri, would go and teach the Talmidim al Gabi Karka. He was elevated. However, when he passed away, David became his successor. He sat on the ground. They said, just like your predecessor, like Ira Yiri, he said no. And therefore, that's his gvura. Gvura meaning in his modesty and humility, that is the sheves, that he would sit on the ground as opposed to be elevated. Now the pasuk continues on. Tachemoyni, Omer Rav, Omer LeKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoyu Veishpalta Atzmacha. Since you were mashpil yourself, you conducted yourself with such modesty. Tachemoyni, the word Tachemoyni is like Tachemoyni. You should be like me. What means like me? Like Kav Yochel. Sheni goes Gzeira VeAtam Avatla. I make Gzeira and I give you the koyach to go and annul the Gzeira. The pasuk continues on. Roish Hashalishim, Tachem Roish LeShloishes Aves. You're now going to be head of Avram, Yitzchak, VeYaakov. What does that mean? So Rashi says LeOlam Haba. When the Oves HaKadoshim are going to go and walk, you're going to walk in front of them, David HaMelech. That's a great madrig. Who Adino Yo Etzni? What's my Adino Etzni? When he would learn Torah, he would learn with such humility and modesty, like a talas, like a worm. What is this ma'adin atzmoy? So you see Rashi right at the end, three lines before the end. Ma'adin atzmoy, koyfif atzmoy yod v'ragla biyachad. He would kind of bend over and put himself together in like a little cocoon together. The yoshev v'aretz, he would sit on the ground with such humility of the heilige Torah. So that's the lotion of the adinoy. When he had to go on a war, oh, then he wasn't bent over. Then he would go and be like a rock, in this case, like a piece of wood, like a staff. Oh, we're going to go out in the battle. Finally, the pasuk ends. What does that mean? David HaMelech was so powerful, when he would go and shoot one arrow, he was mapel shmoyne meis cholu b'pamechas. There would be 800 people that would die from that one shooting of an arrow. And David HaMelech would go and sigh and say, it should have been 1,000, not just 800. Why wasn't I zochet to that? You get 800. Had you not had this chaitin initially, you would have had all 1,000, like it says, Eich Yudav Echad Elef. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi Yisai Zadke Ben, Zadke Zim, Tatzlocha Rabbah to everyone.